Lord, we thank you for our children, Lord. We ask that you would bless them as they go down to hear about you, to hear from your word. Lord, we ask ask for us up here, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, thank you that you work through broken vessels. Thank you that even in our weakness, in the areas where we have success and failure, Lord, you still work through us. Father, where we fall short, you continue to minister and love us and minister to us, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for the series that we've been going through, connecting with Jesus, connecting with you, Lord. Father, I pray that because of the truth of your word this morning, we would be more connected to you. Lord, that we would hear from you, that we would respond to you, that we would know your voice, recognize your voice, and respond, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you choose to use people like us, people like we're going to hear about Peter today. Lord, just thank you that you are a good God, that you are holy. And Father, we are grateful that you are with us this morning. Bless this time for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So guys, we're continuing on in the encounters with Jesus. And the setting for our scripture, remember, we've just had the third time where Jesus has showed himself to the disciples. And this is a group of seven. And remember from last week, he told them, you know what? He came and they were out fishing and they'd been fishing all night. And they hadn't caught anything. And he said, hey, put your nets on the other side. And they went from fishing all night and catching nothing to putting their nets on the other side. And they caught 103 fish. The nets were full, and yet they did not break. And Peter got excited, and he jumps in the water and starts swimming. And we come to one of the times in Scripture where I am so thankful for this, because one of the realities of life is we all blow it. And sometimes we really, really blow it. And when you blow it, one of the things I struggle with is I tend to cave. I tend to cave when I blow it. I tend to kind of separate and retreat a little bit and go in a little cocoon. And some people, when they blow it, get angry. Some people, when they blow it, get aggressive. Other people, they disappear. We all have different responses to when we blow it. And here we have the early morning breakfast with Jesus. And after they've had this time with Jesus, I love the fact that Jesus confronts Peter about his sin. That he talks to him, and he talks to him directly. And so the setting is early morning at the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. And Peter and six of the other apostles are there. And remember, Peter had made the greatest confession in church history. He'd said, you are the Christ, Jesus, the Son of the living God. And then he had denied Christ three times. He'd said, no matter what happens, God, I'm with you. I will be with you no matter what. Even if these other disciples, they let you down, I won't let you down. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Guys, when we blow it, I love the fact that we have a God who doesn't just kind of act as though nothing's happened. He doesn't wink at sin. He doesn't, but he deals with it head on. And it's a great example for us of how to get through things. Because it feels really bad when we blow it. You know, I'm guessing that Peter, after he had denied Jesus three times as Jesus was being taken to the cross to be killed. And as he's being drawn in, as he's being taken away, three times Peter had said, "I'm not with Jesus. I'm not with him." After he had told Jesus, "No matter what happens, no matter what these other jokers do, I'm with you." Three times he had denied him. And the question that I think is going through Peter's mind is, how could he be what he had been before again? How could he be the kind of guy that Jesus wanted him to be? The kind of guy that was being called to follow Jesus and do amazing things. And this scripture tells us how we can set our lives back on the right track. You want to know how to set your lives back on the right track after you've blown it? This is it. This is it. Let's jump into it. John 21, starting in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John," right there. Simon, son of John. How he's referring to Peter. Remember, Jesus had given Peter a nickname. Jesus likes nicknames. Anybody remember what his nickname was? The Rock. And when Peter is getting it done over and over, Jesus refers to Peter as, "Hey, Rock." Hey, Rock. Reminding him, you know, man, there's going to be some things that are built on the rock. And he'd given him this nickname, which has all this meaning. And here, after he had blown it, and after he's confronting Peter, he says, not, "Hey, Rock." He says, "Hey, of your name that I used to call you." Just the name, just by how he's being addressed, the air in Peter's lungs just shoots out of him. "Hey, Simon, son of John." Not, "Hey, Rock." Then he says this, "Do you love me more than these?" And he's, who are these? He's looking at the other disciples. "Do you love me more than these?" Because remember what Peter had said? No matter what these jokers do, I'm with you. No matter who falls away, I won't fall away. And then we remember that scripture of where Peter is there, and as Jesus is being let out for the third time, right as Peter is saying the words, "I'm not with them. I don't know him. I'm not one of them," Jesus is brought out and their eyes make contact and the rooster crows. "Do you love me more than these?" Peter's response is, "Lord, yes, Lord." He said, "You know that I love you." And Jesus says something interesting here. Jesus said, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Do you love me more than these guys?" "Yes, Lord. I've got a calling for you." What's he doing here? He's mercifully confronting him in a way that's letting Peter know, you're not out of it. Your sin hasn't taken you out of the ball game. You're not on the bench for the rest of the time. I'm getting you back in the game. You get to go back in. And for a guy like Peter, remember, he had just jumped out of the boat into the water to get to Jesus. This is a guy who wants to be with Jesus. He wants to be used by God. But just like all of us, he's got some weaknesses, and some of them are glaring. You know, my picture of Peter is he's this big, passionate guy who just puts his foot in it all the time and just messes up. And it's like constant, remove foot from mouth. Ringing in his ear from Matthew 26:33, even if all fall away, I never will. And it still left that taste in his mouth. And the power of Jesus' question was mercifully brutal. Do you love me? Verse 16, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John. Who's he calling him still? Who you were. Guys, I am not someone who enjoys conflict. I do not like disunity. But one of the things we see here from our Savior is sometimes the loving thing to do is deal with things up front. Deal with things up front. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Notice it's not, do you love me more than these? It's just, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The first question was a question of the superiority, calling into question Peter's superiority of commitment and love to Jesus. The second one was a question, questioning, did Peter have any love at all for his Lord, for Jesus? When he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And again, it's something is required then. Something comes from that love. And it's take care of my sheep. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Take care of my sheep. If you do love the Lord, then something needs to change. The third time he said to him, son, Simon, son of John. Wouldn't it have been great if for the third time he had said, Peter? Hey, Rock! Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know all things. His response was, Lord, you know all that I've done. Nothing is hidden from me. Yes, I love you. In spite of what I did. In spite of my sin. And guys, I want to say this. Our sin, what we do in our worst moments, that is not who we are in Christ. Our sin can cause us to really question faith sometimes, can't it? To question our faith. The enemy really wants us to be taken out by our sin. He wants us, first of all, before the sin, we've got the great deceiver telling us, oh, everybody does. It's not that. Trying to to bring a sin. And then we've got our flesh, which is weak. And the world, which is challenging. And we give in to the temptation and we commit sin. And some of the sins, they keep us awake at night. Some of the sins, we look at ourselves in the mirror afterwards and there's disgust. And there's disappointment. And I love that God doesn't leave us there. He reaches out to us, and in the midst of our sin, he goes against the lie of the enemy, which is saying, that thing that you did at your worst, that is who you are. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell. What we do at our worst is not who we are in Christ. And who we are in Christ trumps our sin. Guys, so many people are caught and just in this place of being frozen before God because of their sin. And God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for Peter, and he doesn't want it for us. And what does he say? Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So often, I think in the church, we see, well, to be loving means to reach out and love other people and help other people. Absolutely. But our goal is not to do. What's the first and most important thing for the church? Do you love me? Guys, it starts there. You want spiritual maturity? What is spiritual maturity? Do you love me? That is first things first. And what we are seeing here is a spiritual priority, a focus on what's most important, which is loving God. And when we love, I mean, love God, then when the challenge comes, we're less likely to give in to the temptation and commit sin. And when we do give in to the temptation and commit sin, we're less likely to get lost and camp out on sin's doorstep and rather either feel bad and feel like we don't belong back with God. And so we hold ourselves, God hasn't changed his relationship with us, with our sin. A father, remember, a father's heart is what God has for his children. And when we sin, it doesn't rip us out of sonship or daughtership. But you know what does happen with me when I sin sometimes? Sometimes I feel so guilty for my sin. I don't feel worthy. So I turn my back on God. Because I'm not worthy of his relationship, of his love. And so nothing's changed from God to me, but everything's changed from me to God. I'm still his child, but I'm not experiencing his blessings. Why? Because of the guilt and shame. And the enemy wants us to live in guilt and shame. And if he can't have that, then let's flip it. I'm not guilty. They're guilty. They're to blame. Now, pride is a great tool. And it's now we've got the flip side. You know, which tells me something. That when I struggle with guilt and shame, I'm actually struggling with pride. Because I'm saying, I'm not good at, in other words, my focus is on me rather than my Lord. And in my guilt and shame, I start to, in a sense, worship self in a twisted way. Oh, man, I'm just... And all the focus in my guilt and shame is where? Right here. It's all about me. The enemy has brought me into a place I shouldn't be. Self-worship, self-focus. Even though I'm hating myself, disgusted with myself, it's focus on self. I'm being selfish. Peter knows what it's like to be selfish. He also knows what it's like to be forgiven. I want to encourage you, when you mess up, have breakfast with Jesus. When you just blow it, don't get stuck out on the water. Be willing to come in. I love that Peter swam, and I love that he's hungry to be with his Savior and Lord. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. The third thing that Jesus questioned on, the third question was, he challenged his claim of affection. He challenged Peter's claim of affection. He's saying, Peter, if you really love me, then I've got something for you. Because what you did, how you lived, it didn't show it. And I'm willing to address that with you. But that's not who you are. Who you are is a child of God. And so I've got a calling for your life. I've got something very specific for you. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to be about serving others, but you don't serve them, Peter. Do you see this? You don't serve them from your strength, from what you can do. You serve them from first loving me. Three denials of Jesus. Three confessions for a reason. All that you've done, Peter, all of it, you're with me. You're mine. You haven't lost your purpose. I've got my calling on your life. You're still with me, buddy. And I love that the other disciples, that there's six other disciples who are all there. And they all feel the guilt that Peter is feeling. Because they all denied Jesus. And through this communication with Peter, they're all going, we have a purpose. You know, this is the third time Jesus had shown himself. But this is the first time he's saying, okay, now there's business to do. I bet you all of them, he's here, he's alive, woo-hoo! He's here. He's alive. We denied him. He's who he said he was. He's not just a teacher. He is the Messiah. Oh, no! What have we done? What have we done? What have we done? Guys, this third time of, it is powerful because they're all thinking what Peter's thinking. Do we have a place? We walked with him for 3 years and we missed it. He goes on in verse 18. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are older, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. What Jesus is saying here is not you're going to get old and not be able to dress yourself. How was Jesus crucified? Or killed? He was crucified. He was hung on the cross. He was spread out. Crucifixion was basically, they had a school And they were very well taught at the school of killing our enemies is not enough. We want people to fear our power and our strength. So we've got to come up with the most painful takeaway to cause somebody pain and make their death not only so painful, but make it last a long period of time. And that's what crucifixion is. The whipping is to draw the blood to make you weak, but you don't die from blood loss. You've got nails through your hands and feet, and as you're pushing up with the nails and you're pushing up on the, because there's that front part of the cross which is pushed in your back, and it's making it so you can't breathe. The only way you can breathe is if you push on your feet and push up and get so you can get a breath. And then when you go back down to the weight on the nails, you can't breathe anymore. And so you keep, every time you want to take a breath, you have to push up. And eventually you suffocate and die. What he's saying here is, Peter, my death is going to be like your death. One day you're going to have to be stretched out. In other words, what he's saying, what is he saying? He's saying, Peter, feed my sheep, and you know what? The cost will be huge. It'll cost you everything. Are you willing to follow me? Because I promise you, it will cost you everything. Guys, when we follow Christ, we're saying yes to our Lord and Savior. We're saying no to self. We're saying now everything else dies except for him. And we try and we grow, but it's coming to a place to where we die to ourselves daily. And there's times where we choose self over God and we blow it. But we're not taken out of the race because of that. We need to regroup. We need to go back to our very most important priority, which is loving God. And after we love God, start there. If you're struggling in sin right now, if you're struggling with rejection, if you're struggling with being broken down because of your sin, don't try and make it right so that you can come back to God. You cannot make it right. There's nothing you can do or I can do to make it right with God. We go back to loving him because he has a parental love for us. Just like a child, just like a son or a daughter who messes up, they don't stop being our child. We love them. We love them. We have hard conversations. We talk about things. We work through things. But they never stop being our child. And we never stop being his. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go, to the cross, to a cross. Anybody remember how Peter died? On the cross, upside down. He didn't think he was worthy to be crucified the same way that Christ was crucified. So there had to be a little difference, but he died on the cross. Verse 19, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. You see, Peter's still in. Guys, think about this. Peter, at Jesus' most crucial time, Peter denied him three times. And yet he's still saying, Peter, hey, Peter, do you love me? I've got some work for you. I've got a plan for your life. Hey, Peter, follow me. Follow me. And this is the place where Peter can say, oh, but I'm not worth, or he can say, I'm in. Here we go. I'm following. Verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. That's John. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? You must follow me. Because of this, rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? One of the things that almost all the disciples dealt with was twelve disciples followed Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas tried to take everything into his own hands and betrayed him. Out of those 11, all of them denied him. And there came a place where then something happened where all of those 11 and others follow him, but not follow him because Jesus is no longer walking with them. Jesus, soon after this, ascends to heaven. But these disciples who were so passionate and yet weak become these disciples who changed the world, and we're still talking about what they did. And we read about from God's word about what they accomplished. These guys who ran. Why? Because they loved him. They heard the message that he's giving to Peter. Guys, if we focus on what we're doing for God, if we focus on what this church is going to do, we're going to miss what we're called to do. Did you hear that? If we focus on God is going to do amazing things, I tell you, there are so many people who want to be used mightily by God. I remember being a young 23. Julie and I had just gotten married, and we were getting involved in ministry and serving and as a youth pastor. And so much of my focus early on was on what can I do for the Lord? And as a young man, completely understandable, because I wanted to be used by God. I love God. I wanted to... But one of the challenges that I went through was in that desire to be used, I was still at the center of the equation. What I can do for God. You know what I've learned from 24 years of ministry? It's not about what I can do for God. It's about who God is and what he's doing. And my area of focus comes in loving God. And from that time of loving God, now after being in relationship with him, now it's natural for me to be who I am in Christ. It's not about what I'm achieving. It's about being who I am. Because God not only saved me, he called me, he saved me, but he's the one who does ministry through me. It's always about him. It's always about him. And I love this. You know, John, it's talking about John here in the last verses, how he, it talks about how there was questions. Well, did it say that John would never die? Well, who's the only disciple that we know of that that we don't know about his death? It's John. He may not have been, he may, and it's not recorded, but it looks as though he's the only disciple that we know that wasn't killed for his faith. All of the other disciples, all other 11, went from, I don't know Jesus, to then being filled by the Holy Spirit, to then, I get to live for him. I get to be who I am in the midst of chaos and corruption, in the midst of other people's brokenness. I get to experience love. And the disciples, I mean, they went through junk. They went through junk. And I promise you, if you follow Jesus, you will go through junk. But how is it that we can be in the midst of the storm and experience peace and joy and the fruit of the Spirit? It's by being who we are. As I want to just continue to challenge us to get away from the idea that spiritual maturity, that growing up and becoming a mature Christian, right? We all want to be mature, right? But being a mature Christian doesn't mean having head knowledge. In the maturity, do we know God more and more about? Of course. And we will know God's word in such a way it becomes our bread, our water. It becomes what we yearn for. It becomes what we feed on. So will we know more about him? Absolutely. But that's not what makes us mature. In that knowledge, it's a constant humbling, because the more we know about God, the more we're humbled in our brokenness before him. The more we come to realize how much we need him, how much we are dependent on him for every breath. And humility grows, and pride shrinks away, and, oh, I'm such a... But no, that's... We get further away from religion and more intimate with knowing God personally, faith. We get away from rules, do's and don'ts, and we get to enjoy God and take pleasure in him. And in that pleasure of being who we are in him, he does amazing things using even us. Broken vessels. But not just broken vessels, his children. See, the love that, the definition of the word love that Peter used those three times. You know I love you. All three times the response is the word of friendship. I love that it's a friendship love, that it's a connecting friendship love. Guys, we are called to be in relationship with our Lord. And I want to encourage you. Don't allow the enemy to get you sidetracked. Either in your sin or in pride of yourself over someone else's sin. Because if the enemy can't get to us through our sin, oh, what an opening it is. Because now we can look down our noses at a brother or a sister and think, oh, Lord, thank you for me. I'm not like them. And we start getting into this comparison thing. See, the enemy is subtle. But the enemy is a schemer. He's going to hit every single angle he can on us to try and get us out of who we are, which is children of God. And if you're not a person of faith, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're here for a reason. God has you hearing these words for a reason. There's nothing you've done that takes you out or away from God's love. There's no sin that is greater than his love and grace. And if you're believing the lie that you're not good enough and there's nothing you can do, it's actually not a lie, you're right. There's nothing you can do to be right with God. But God has already done it. The lie is actually, there's nothing that you can do. The focus is there is you. The lie is to focus on you. The truth is, Christ has done it. You need to receive what he's done. Are you willing to humble yourself and say, I can't? Guys, it takes a lot in a world that says, never give up, to say, God, I can't. But we don't go according to the world's ways. We don't have the world's wisdom. We have God's. Do you love me? Do you love me is the question. If you know God, if you love him, then what? Then be about his business. Then be who you are. Be who God has called you to be. That means now there's a new focus. Do you love me? Then I've got plans for your life. Even for the sinner, us. That includes all of us. The only heart that I would worry for right now is the person who has heard these words and said, that's not me. I'm good. Truth is, we've all been there. Every single person in this room have thought those words, well, I'm not as bad as him. God is calling you. Will you respond? You've heard the calling of the Lord if you don't know him. For those of us who know him, it's not too late. Have you blown it? Have you made a major mistake? That's not who you are. You're a child of God. Stop. Turn. Be who you are in Christ and enjoy God. Love him back. And from that love, the right things will come forth out of us, right? As we are being who we are, that's where we're living out our identity in Christ. Now the focus is not on what we do and jumping through the hoops. Now God's the focus, and now he just moves through us. And we are just blown away. Because we got to be involved with what God is doing. And it's exciting, guys. Let's not allow the enemy victory over us. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Be free indeed. Be in step with the Holy Spirit. Let's be who we are in Christ. And in that, the calling that we have, for Peter, it was feed his lambs. Spread the word. For us, spread the word of God. Share who we are. Share, you don't know how to reach out? Love people. Love people. And ask them questions about what's important to them. And be an example. And when they ask, and when God is prompting you, when the Holy Spirit is prompting you, share what God did for you. That's how we reach out. That's how we reach out. Be who we are in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, forgive us. We keep trying to just scoot and sneak up and get just part of us on the throne of our lives. We keep kind of giving you the elbow and trying to bump you off the throne. Sometimes it's in our condemnation and our shame and our focus on self in that way. Sometimes it's in our pride of, I've got this. I can do this. Lord, forgive us, however it is that we're not being in your presence in a way that is undone by your glory. Lord, your glory is beyond words. Who you are, there are no words to fully communicate who you are. We know in part right now. One day we will know in full. But Lord, your kingdom is here and now in part. Your kingdom is here and now. And we can experience your kingdom, your blessing here. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience you. We can know you now. Lord, may that be what guides us, what gives us strength, what empowers us to move forward. Father, you're greater than our weaknesses. Thank you so much for that. Thank you that we don't come to you on our merits. We come to you only on what you have done for us. Our self-righteousness is made righteous by what you do. Our sin is made clean by you. Our death is defeated by what you've done. Beginning, middle, and end, it's all about you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can enjoy your goodness now. Lord, as we look at what that calling is, Lord, may we never put the cart before the horse in spiritual priorities. May we never be focused about what we do. May we always be focused first on you, on loving you. And from that love, having you move through us to do so much more than what we could do ourselves and then just ask you to bless on the side. Father, change our lives. Lord, thank you that you care enough to have the conversation with Peter, to have those hard truths dealt with Peter. That you don't just push it under the carpet, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that it's not just Peter that you treated that way, but you treat us that way. You love enough to get involved, to ask the hard questions, to have that uncomfortable moment so that there's growth, so that there's blessing. We receive that from you, Lord. We receive that from what you're doing through others around us. God, give us your purposes in our life. We desire to love you first. We desire to have the right priorities of loving you. Jesus, I love you. You are God. You are holy and you are good. Bless each one here, Lord. May the truth of who we are in Christ push out the enemy. Lord, we pray for a spiritual covering over each one, Lord. Over all here and downstairs here, Lord, we ask for a covering that the enemy's lies would have no place in our minds. That we would hear the truth that we are children of God, beloved, your beloved. Your sons and daughters. And nothing will change that. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are and what you've done and who you are in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for your hard truths. Thank you for those difficult moments. Thank you for those trials. Thank you for those times where we feel like we can't breathe. Because of being brought to a place of being more dependent on you. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for putting any trust in self. Our hope is in you and you alone. We love you back. Thank you, Lord. You are good. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.